Today on Real Radio.
Our faith can falter, but the one who holds us in the palm of his hand will not falter. Our faith can be weakened by trials and difficulties of this life, hardships.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. In chapter 21, and other passages for that matter, we're taught some pretty valuable lessons about something, well, quite frankly, happens to all of us at one time or another. We experience a breakdown in our faith. Now, when this happens, it doesn't always mean that the Almighty will simply withdraw himself from us. Scripture is full of examples of God using crooked sticks to draw straight lines, if you will. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now in a lesson taken from 1 Samuel chapter 21. It's called, When Faith Fails.
And it may be a very trying thing when our faith fails. It happens to all of us. Peter experienced that when his faith began to fail. And Jesus, in fact, prophesied. He told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has asked me for you to sift you as wheat, Peter. And Jesus said to Peter, when you return, strengthen your brethren. I've always been amazed and marveled at that portion of scripture because Jesus was telling Peter there's going to come a time in his life that would be so trying, would be so difficult. Now listen, some of you need to hear this. Peter, your faith will fail. Satan will sift you as wheat. To sift wheat in those days, and the word that Jesus used meant that a log would be embedded with spikes. And that log would be strapped to a donkey or an ox, and it would roll and drag back and forth the wheat for endless hours until the wheat was separated from the chaff. And the wind would blow and leave only the fruit of the wheat. And so Jesus was prophesying to Peter, Peter, you are going to be absolutely sifted by Satan. Nothing's going to remain but good. And when you come back, strengthen your brethren. And we know from the Gospels when that happened. Do you remember when Peter, when his faith failed, he denied Christ some three times, denying the fact that he even knew Jesus at all. And he ran. And the rooster crowed the third time. Can you imagine the condemnation that must have settled upon Peter? The darkness, the terror that he had forsaken his Lord, that his faith had failed. Did Jesus scold him? Did Jesus reject him? Not at all. In fact, the Bible tells us that in the resurrection, Jesus says, go tell my disciples I have risen and tell who?
Peter.
Peter, specifically. Oh man, that tells us volumes, doesn't it? Has your faith ever failed? Sometimes, and listen, we are victims of a very perverse age in church history. We are told to have faith in faith. This is evil doctrine. Oh, just have faith. Just say to yourself, I've got faith. And you keep telling yourself that you've got faith, and if you have enough faith, or if you just keep encouraging yourself about your faith, you can do anything. You can be rich. You can be healthy. I'd like to be healthy right now. If you just have enough faith, have faith in faith. And there's very famous people on TV and radio saying, have faith in faith. Listen, the Bible doesn't say to have faith in faith. The Bible says to have faith in God. He's God. Our faith can falter, but the one who holds us in the palm of his hand will not falter. Our faith can be weakened by trials and difficulties of this life, hardships. Know this, Christian, that when your faith, when my faith is brought to the brink, and we judge ourselves and conclude, I must not be a Christian. I am worthless as a believer. What good am I? Many of us know in this church that it's at times like that, the grace of God floods in like a storm, and we are strengthened. But that strength only comes in very trying moments of life. David is going to show us something about faith and when it fails. 1 Samuel chapter 21, it says verse 1, Now David came to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid when he met David and said to David, Why are you alone and no one is with you? So David said to Ahimelech the priest, The king has ordered me on some business and said to me, Do not let anyone know anything about the business on which I send you or what I have commanded you. And I have directed my young men to such a place. Now, therefore, what I have on hand or what you have on hand, give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand or whatever can be found. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread. If the young men have at least kept themselves from women. Then David answered the priest and said to him, Truly, women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in effect common, even though it was consecrated in the vessel this day. So the priest gave him holy bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread, which had been taken from before the Lord, in order to put hot bread in its place on the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, or you can say Dog, the Edomite, the chief of the herdsmen who belonged to Saul. And David said to Ahimelech, Is there not here on hand a spear or a sword? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And so the priest said, The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, there it is, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you take it, take it. There is none other except that one here. And David said, There is none like it. Give it to me. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands? Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And so he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, Look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come to my house? What a bizarre chapter. Is this David? This is David. This is us when our faith fails. What is he doing? What has become of our incredible giant killer, our hero? The guy's acting like a loony. What's happened? This is not the character of the man that we've come to love. A few things we consider tonight as we look to our study when our faith fails. Number one is this, found in verses 1-6. When our faith fails, our old life makes a comeback. Have you noticed that, people? Now, I'm going to be hitting a lot of things tonight that are convicting. And the reason why I know that is because I've been convicted putting this message together. So I'm going to assume, you don't have to do it, I'm going to assume tonight that you're going to be nodding and saying, yep, I know what you mean. Because I know that you know what I mean. Whenever our faith gets off of God, whatever comes our way, and we begin to become subject to the pressures of this life, whatever they might be in your life, in my life, they come in, and whatever it is, it can be a cloud so dark that we can begin to get our eyes off of God. Again, Peter was walking on the water. We often ask questions like, oh, well, who do you know who ever walked on water? Well, we know the answer to that. It's Jesus. And we answer rightly. But how often does it enter into our minds that Peter also walked on water? We don't ever often think of Peter walking on water. Peter walked on water too, but he sank in that water when he got his eyes off the Lord. His faith, and true, I believe, biblical faith, is a faith that is above. It flies above, so to speak, the weather patterns of feelings, of emotions. It's fixed. When Peter and his faith in Christ was so great, he said, Master, bid me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. And Peter went out walking. And then the Bible says, as the wind blew and as the waves became more boisterous, Peter began to sink. He got his eyes off of the Lord. That's a message for us. We can get our eyes off of God. And when that happens, our old life makes a comeback. But Pastor, I thought the Bible says that the old man is dead. Yeah, it does say the old man's dead. But it also says that we need to be crucified daily, huh? You read that in the Bible? Jesus says, pick up the cross and follow me daily. Why? Because that old man, that old woman, I mean, your old woman, I'm the old man, so quickly comes back. What is that? I thought this guy died 25 years ago. I thought he died at the foot of the cross. Why and how does he come back so quick? Reckon, Paul says, the old man to be dead. I love that word in the book of Romans. It's a mathematical term. Do the math, draw the line, and the bottom line is you tell the old man he's dead. Well, if he was dead every moment of the day, why would we be talking to him? We've got to reckon the old nature, the old person of who we were before we came to Jesus. And I'm not going to elaborate. You know who you were before you came to Christ. I know who I was before I came to Christ, and I'm not going to tell you any more than that. That man's dead. But you know what? When I get my eyes off of God, I start to hear him talk. Sounds just like me. His voice is a little bit better. But I'll hear him talk in my head. Hey, remember when? And that old man lies to me. Oh, we had such a great time. Have you noticed that when you talk about the past, how we deify the past? Oh, it was the greatest time. Oh, my. And it wasn't that great. We didn't have that much fun. We so conveniently, the old man does forget all the horrible things of the BC, before Christ, years and life, and deify those moments that it's trying to pump up as something. But when we get our eyes off of God, the world with the old man of who we once were comes back and begins to make overtures. And that's a dangerous thing. We struggle in that condition with the truth. We struggle with the truth, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, when David came to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest, he's a good guy, priest of God, and Ahimelech was afraid when he met David. What is David traveling alone for? Why are you alone and no one's with you? It doesn't mean that David was alone. He had men with him. It meant that David was traveling outside of the kingly procession. He didn't have the standards of King Saul. He didn't have the flags. He didn't have all the entourage. The motorcade was not there. So David said to Ahimelech, the priest, the king has ordered me on some business. People, is that true? No, that's not true. You see, we struggle with the truth when the old man begins to rear his head. And in this case, in the life of David, his faith is starting to wane because fear is starting to come in. More on that in a moment. But he begins now to weave a web. By the way, a web that we'll find out in following chapters will cost Ahimelech and the priest and Nob their lives. David will tell a series of lies that will result in the murder of the innocent. No man, I do not, you do not sin to yourself. If I go out drinking tonight with Barbie, it will affect your life. You say, no, wait a minute, Pastor. It's going to affect your life. Oh, of course it's going to affect my life. But what I do privately will affect you as well. What you do privately will affect me. No man lives unto himself, the Bible says. No man dies unto himself. Well, I'm just doing this little thing. If you're in the body of Christ, we're in this thing together. Well, what can this thing do for me? I'm not going to call any names. You'll figure it out yourself. But I remember hearing a certain president say that what he did in private was none of our business. I have two issues with that. Big ones. The day that that news came out, certain stock that I have on the New York Stock Exchange went way down. That affected me personally. When the news of his escapades went public, that affected me. Then I began to think of how high treason was committed in the Oval Office, which is our office in our house that I pay for, you pay for. A portion of your check every week goes to painting and carpet and lighting for that house. And you don't bring someone in off the street that could have killed him. She could have killed him. It could have affected the world. Well, no, what he does in his own private time is his own business. Not when you're a public servant. And not when you're a Christian. You say, well, Pastor, you don't mean me because nobody even knows I go here. I mean you. Because you know what? If you're advancing with Christ and you're growing strong with Jesus, there is a supernatural emanation of blessings that will flow out from your life. When you're walking and serving God, you're going to be affecting the people around you. If you've got the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, it's going to affect the people that are sitting over here. It's going to happen. If you over here, you're depressed, you're bummed out, life is crushing in on you, and you're sequestered in your spirit, you're really going through a hard time, people around you, they're going to notice. God will, I mean, what am I telling you for? We're the body. When Jim, when you're down, I know it when he's down. When I'm down, Jim says, hey, what's up? Can I pray for you? This is the work of God among his people. It's the way the Spirit of God moves. You know, so many church growth seminars talk about we need to be a community. We need to make community. Well, you don't make community. The Holy Spirit makes community. It's the love of God when you begin to care for one another. I don't want to get off the path, but maybe it's not off the path. I don't know. A couple of neat brothers came into my office yesterday to just ask if this church would pray for them as they go to India in March. They want prayer coverage. They want prayer support. And their vision got me so excited that I want to go to India. And then I've been praying for this thing already. How does that, what is that? How does that happen? What is that all about? It's God moving. You can't live, you and I as believers, we can't live as an island. It's impossible. I don't care what Paul Simon says. It doesn't work that way. We struggle with the truth when we are struggling with faith. Not only that, verses 4 and 5 will downgrade the things of God when we begin to slip away and our faith begins to fail. It says in verse 4, and the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread at hand or on hand. This is the show bread. This is the priestly bread, the bread that was commanded by God through Moses. But there is holy bread. I mean, we don't have any Twinkies. We've got no pita bread. We got nothing except the holy bread dedicated to God. Now, this is a very cool thing that happens, even though the context is somewhat interesting. Jesus sets us straight on it. The priest says, if the young men have at least kept themselves from women. Then David answered the priest and said, truly, women have been kept from us for a space of about 3 days. That means they haven't been with girls in a space of 3 days. And the vessels of the young men are holy. And the bread is in effect common, even though it was sanctified in the vessels this day. Bottom line is this, David's not a priest, neither are the men with him. If you know the Old Testament, the bread was to be dedicated to God, and then after the bread had its shelf life, before the throne, or the altar, I should say, of God, then who ate the bread? The priest, not David, not his men. But this priest is smart enough to know something that many people do not today know, that Jesus even taught us in the Gospels. The priest looks at David, looks at the men, and gives these men bread. The holy bread. First of all, it's dedicated to God, and it is given in the law that it be so. Jesus tells us in the Gospels to the Pharisees who were acting like they had the corner market on righteousness. Jesus turns, remember, when they're walking across the field, a couple of his disciples, they grab a handful of wheat. Have you ever done this? It's so cool. If you haven't, maybe do it this summer or this fall when it comes about, if you're vacationing, whatever. Grab a handful of wheat. Jesus' disciples grabbed a handful of wheat. They began to rub the wheat together. You blow the chaff away. And there's these beautiful golden kernels. Throw them in your mouth and begin to chew them. It's fantastic. You know what? It turns into a gum, a wheat gum. And you can chew it all day long. It's very neat. Tastes great. It's good for you. So they're doing that, and the Pharisees are going, oh, Jesus, look, your disciples, here's what they accuse them of. Your disciples are breaking the Sabbath because they're harvesting on a Sabbath. They're eating. They're grabbing wheat and eating it because they were hungry. And Jesus says, oh, leave them alone. Haven't you read in the Bible? I love what he says to them. Haven't you read in the Bible? That when David's men were hungry, they took of the showbread and ate of it? Do you know what Jesus was saying? Do you know what this priest here is saying? The same thing. Jesus and the priest is saying the same thing to David. The sustenance and the sustaining of human life is far greater than the law. Life supersedes the law.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called When Faith Fails. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 21 and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this fascinating Old Testament book. We'll continue with more of When Faith Fails on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Okay, it is Monday, and that means that you can catch our weekly television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You can watch it right now at our new website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You'll see Pastor Jack in some pretty informative discussions and interviews covering topics like evangelism, missions, apologetics, doctrine, how our faith plays into our politics, marriage, family, and other relationships. In fact, just browse the categories for yourself. We think you're going to like this. Just pay us a visit at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And of course, you'll also find links to just about all that's connected with this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Real Life with JackHibbs.org. Come by and see us. Our telephone number here at Real Radio is 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.